You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I love this song.
It was painted red, the stripe was white, it was 18 feet from the bow of the stern light.
Secondhand, singing about a boat. In Atlanta. Actually, the engine of a boat. When he went there to get her.
Put on a shine, put on a motor, built out of love and made for water. Ran her for years till the transom got rotten. A piece of my childhood will never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson electric choke. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp, I'd make it wide. He'd say, you can't beat the way an old boat rides. Just a little lake across the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me ride.
Only country music is just capable of making a great song out of it.
Daddy got it right, cause the engine was smoking. Couple of burnt valves and he had it going. Let me drive her, we'd haul off a load down a dirt strip where we'd dump trash off. A
couple of valves.
I'd sit up in the seat and stretch my feet out to the pedals, smiling like a hero that just received his medal. It was just an old hand-me-down.
You know, when I hear that little line, I don't like it. Smiling like a hero who just received his medal. Most quote-unquote heroes don't smile when they receive those things. Just a thought. Again, my thanks to Libby Weichel for coming on. The mom of a Marine affected by post-traumatic stress disorder. And has been a great supporter of All Marine Radio. Because it helped. Okay, and All Marine Radio is nothing more than the amalgamation of a whole lot of things that people have know to be true and that they pass on. I think it's important that on a regular basis that you move the kaleidoscope, that we consider other perspectives and you hear from other people. And so, my thanks to her for coming on this morning. My monitor's on, right? Fox News has this dude standing in a parking lot in Florida. They are not going to be content till somebody gets killed. And they're indicative of all the different, right, whether it be the Weather Channel or any cable news network, that these anchors are in correspondence are standing out there. And at some point, somebody's going to get whacked. You know, somebody's going to get whacked. But the classic one was last week when whoever the correspondent was bracing themselves, and then two people walked by in the background. two people walked by in the background that weren't even like bracing or anything like that. It was hilarious. The thing went viral. But it's dangerous. Why do you do that? Anyway, all right, I'm going to play some audio here on Winning Wednesday from Bob Nielsen. So this is just an extract from an interview that we did earlier this week. But I wanted to ask him, because Bob is addicted to going to Bethesda Walter Reed when they were separate, and now that they're consolidated, you can't keep him out of that place. And what he loves to do is he loves to listen, and you'll hear him talk about the importance of listening. And then the other thing he likes to do is he likes to invite veterans to things that he puts on about becoming an entrepreneur to help them see the way forward. to give hope, which is important. So, listen to this, Bob Nielsen.
All right, I want to talk to you about post-traumatic women. Okay, because you are kind of a little bit of an example of it. You seem addicted to being the Grinch.
Addicted to being the Grinch?
Yes.
I'm the nicest guy you've ever met.
Your wife just walked in the room and said, quit yelling. Okay?
She just left. I just heard the car. She just left the house.
Okay, so, well, the Grinch, when he hears the Who people, and his heart grows. You seem to have found that when you were in the hospital helping vets get jobs and have never gotten over that experience.
Well, yeah, but there's a background to that, Mac. I got back in 68. I went to spend a career with Turner Construction. I did the usual shit when you get into a career in construction. I worked 14 hours a day. And literally with the international work, you're working 7 days a week. And I travel. I was 180 days a year going around the world to run all this crap. And I basically kept that goddamn cage locked up that your Navy crosswind talks about that holds all the monkeys. Okay?
Yeah, right.
The first Gulf War came. I went to the parade in New York when they marched up from Wall Street, and then I went to the parade in Washington, D.C., and I watched Marine veterans with combat ribbons and Purple Hearts getting hugged by the girls and all this thing. It felt great, but the goddamn war had only lasted 2 weeks, or longer, but, you know, all practical purposes,
right,
when we went into Iraq. So I was really feeling good about stuff. But I never really allowed the box to open about my experience of Vietnam and thinking about it and all that shit. I got to know this buddy of mine who lost a leg in Vietnam, a federal judge named Jack Farley. He and I would talk a lot about this stuff. And separately and independently, we started visiting the wounded 17 years ago. He at Walter Reed and me at Bethesda, and then we'd compare notes. And what I hadn't realized, I'd go over there, I'd take the metro, I'd go over to Bethesda, I'd talk my way in the gate, I'd go find a Marine warrant officer who was part of Marine liaison, and I'd say, can you get me up on the floor so I can listen to some of these kids today? And what I had learned from Jack Farley is you go in and you listen. You don't tell them stories about what you did. You don't tell them what a great Marine or soldier you were. You listen. And if you listen, they'll open up and they'll tell you anything and everything you can ever imagine. And I would get on the goddamn metro to go back to the Carrollton parking garage, and I'd be bawling my eyes out on the goddamn metro after spending 2 hours at Walter Reed listening. And what I hadn't realized was it was becoming addictive. Instead of going, you know, twice a month, I started going weekly, and then I started going more, and then I started getting money for scholarships, and I started getting vets jobs. But just like listening to what you and the gunner are going through, when you get involved with this, all of a sudden, it was unleashing a whole bunch of hidden monkeys in my mind, but I had a solution to how to deal with it, because I felt, Jesus, if I can prevent one other, two others, five others from having the same issues, I've got an accomplishment. I think I told you the day we with Walter Reed when we had lunch there, that if I go home at night and had gotten one wounded vet to laugh, I did a home run. And that's what I began to learn and realize.
That's post-traumatic winning. So, you were doing your own version of post-traumatic winning.
Even before you figured out those words.
Yes.
And that's exactly right.
Yes.
And, you know, people have done it with healing waters, teaching them to fly fish.
Right.
People have done it by taking them on skiing adventures. They've done it by taking them. But I found a way that worked for me and the handful of wounded veterans like Pat and Patty Aran and Chris Santiago that helped me with 100 entrepreneurs. If we can help a vet begin to fill that black hole in his brain with something positive, God damn it, we're doing something that ultimately is going to end up surely reducing the odds of suicide. And you got to put some kind of injection in that black hole of something that gives them positive thoughts. And when I listen to the gutter talk on the phone and he's stopping people on the street corner to talk to them about helping them, it's really true. And, you know, whether he likes it or not, he can't stop doing it now.
But, well, you can.
You know, it's all what you're talking about of dealing with the post-traumatic and making it into a positive thing. And how do you take it to help one? Because if you can help one, you can sure as hell help two and three. And, you know, I would have never had the conversation I just had with you 30 minutes ago about Vietnam 10 years ago. I wouldn't have been able to talk about it.
Why not?
But, you know, by being able to go out and do something that I get great satisfaction.
Hey, you just muted your phone, butthead. Stand by.
Jack?
Yes. What happened?
My battery went dead on my phone.
What the hell? You would figure that, like, some big construction wise guy would figure that shit out before he got on the phone. The
we were talking about, you know, winning the post-traumatic battle. And really, by working with and listening to and helping and mentoring the wounded has become my answer solution. And it's far and away the best thing I've ever done.
You know, and it's, that was my epiphany. The win is getting to the point where you're giving.
Exactly.
That's the win. The win is, and giving, a lot of people would tell you, well, that's an act of love, right?
And Jeremiah will tell you this.
But that's why, you know, it's interesting, that's why he could never say, when you hear him talk about having to cut back on his own public speaking, you know, and
right.
He, you know, that is, he feels compelled to do that because of the way it makes him feel. But he's also, as he's grown up and become an adult, he's learned how to balance that as he, you know, has become a father and a husband and takes those jobs seriously. But there's always that pull, and it's not an easy pull to say no to. So, but here's my point. So to me, post-traumatic winning is it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. If a guy like me. But that's how you learn to live with that which troubles you your whole life. That's how it becomes a softer landing. Is in the act of giving, and that's why you could, like, I don't know what kind of barrier you could put up around Bethesda, Walter Reed, to keep Nielsen out. But you wouldn't be able to keep him out until you killed him. Okay.
Because I'll meet him outside the gate with my pizza. But you think about the multiplier effect, Mac. You think about you and the gunner and your hundreds of veteran friends that are reaching out to do something with vets. And I don't care what the hell you do with them. If you take them to a ball game, 100 other things, or you talk to them about trauma, or you do this. All of a sudden, these numbers begin to multiply and multiply and multiply. And, you know, I'm sure we've had over 2,000 wounded vets come to our classes, both at Fort Belvoir and Bethesda. But I can't tell you how many called me back 2, 3, 4 years later, and they're out doing something, or they're helping someone else. It's a complete multiplier. And when you think of all the problems with the suicides and all the other stuff, this is one thing that really works. And, you know, Bouldercrest has put it in one little goddamn fabulous campground, but it works.
And I'll tell you what, and even better, they put it in a book. They put it in an audio book in terms of how they help you get your hands around how you've changed as a human being. Right?
And Josh Goldberg is one of the smartest guys I know,
right.
And he really knows it and understands it and gets it.
Right, and what you need to understand is, look, you're not a different person. You're, you know, 85% of you is the exact shitty human being that you were before you, you know, before you went and experienced this stuff. So you've been marginally changed, and you need to be trained to account for, you know, that marginal change.
And that training, the more I thought about it, that's the right word.
Oh, and them choosing it very, very deliberately, right?
As opposed to therapy and that kind of stuff, which all has a medical content.
Right, but I will say this. You know, somebody asked me, well, Mac, what are you going to say when you're giving your pitch if some, like, psychiatrist stands up and says, you think therapy's bullshit, don't you? I know guys like you. And I'd say, no, I don't. Well, it's kind of bullshit, but that's just my personal opinion. Here's what I think. Yeah, exactly. There is a percentage of us that have underlying, really significant mental health issues. And for those people, I absolutely believe that the medications are important and necessary, and the talk therapy that you're talking about is important. For the rest of us, and again, this is just me using my 90%, 90% of us, what do we need? We need training on what happened to us, right? We need training on how to manage our lives. So we need training in terms of recognizing our triggers. And then we need to develop wellness techniques, wellness practices that deal with that kind of stuff. And then we need to get the understanding that once you get your hands around that, do not be afraid to help other people, because in that help, you will become the Grinch.
And the reason you are going to have the best credibility is because you guys have been there and done that and seen that. Every time I went to Walter Reed, all I ever had to do to talk to a wounded veteran was saying, I'm Bob Nielsen, I was a Marine in Vietnam. And for better or worse, I had instant credibility. They didn't know all the times I was an asshole, but in their mind, they could talk to me. And boy, that just opened the door. And you saw it when we read Wolf Reed. Every time we turned around to talk to another vet, and some had been, you know, discharged 4 or 5 years ago, they'd come over and talk to us like old friends. Because
right.
They knew they could talk. You weren't going to run and write a report. You weren't going to file something with the command. You weren't going to go over and have them restricted for the weekend. You were just listening to what they had to say. And I believe when you deal with people with trauma, that, to me, is the best medicine in the world. You know, you get your sister on the podcast, holy mackerel.
So, but you figured this out on your own, or you just followed what made, what
I
drew you?
So, I stumbled into it, and because I had a buddy, Jack Foley, who lost a leg in Vietnam, became a federal judge, I had somebody I could talk to find out whether my ideas were completely out of whack or whether it made sense.
Right.
And we just kept going there and listening, and finally he had set up a peer visitor program at Walter Reed where they train new amputees that have been recently wounded to be there as visitors when the really new ones come in from the battlefield. And, you know, they had Vietnam vets, and now we got Iraq and Afghan vets. And when you come in and you first lost a leg or an arm, there's nothing like seeing somebody worse than you getting on with their life. It's great medicine. And he had done that. So it began to work on all of us that there was some real merit to doing this. And what I found is at some point in the rehab process, you can begin to talk about entrepreneurship, you can begin to talk about jobs, you can begin to talk about, you know, joint and turn construction, go doing a whole bunch of things. You can't do it on day one. The kid doesn't want to hear it the week after he lost the leg, but you might be able to do it, you know, on 9 months, a year.
You've been going back there for how many years now?
It'll be 17 years January.
Okay.
2000 visits.
So when I describe for people, when you stick your hand out and you help somebody, do you still get the same great feeling from that you did?
Oh. Yeah, yes. That's day one. And I don't care what rank they are or what branch of service or male or female. You get the same thing. Because I've had women amputees that are blown up in Iraq and Afghanistan open up their whole inner soul to you.
So actually, the experience of going to war opens a door for you that you can then use to access and help other people.
it gave me credibility. And, right. and then lying, very simply, well, this guy isn't going to bullshit me. They didn't know we were going to man the moon, but they at least, in the little formula in the head when they first returned from war, if this guy's been there, he might understand what I'm thinking.
Okay, so final question. When I say that we as veterans need to broaden our lens and not only do this with our own veteran friends and our own veteran community, but also touch the lives of others, does that make sense to you?
Yep. Unequivocally. And it's going to make the people you're helping better, but it's going to make you better.
Right. So ultimately, this door that we go through as people that have gone to war, it's ultimately a door to a better place if you seize it.
It's
right?
a stepping stone to a much better place, and you're going to be able to accomplish far more than you ever would have realized. Instead of just getting out and going back to Starbucks to be a barista. It is a door opener both ways, for the person you're helping, but also for you.
It that changes the prism. You know what I'm saying, Bob? So when you hear it like that and says, instead of it being a door into this horrible experience, and obviously there's elements that are horrible. But
sure. But
let me tell you, I don't know if you've looked at it, but when you looked at the interview with Jack Riley, and you see the pictures of those.
Twice. I've listened to it twice.
If you looked at the pictures of those Marines standing around smoking cigarettes, I'm sure it must bring back.
I'm 19 years old and not even old enough to smoke.
Right. I'm sure it brought back memories for you. When you see them looking like human beings, you can see that was the time of their lives. Now, interspersed with that is our horrible events. But if you can look at that as a gate, as a doorway to a place where you can then turn around and minister to others, which is what Bob does. He sticks his hands out, and he's there to take them to a better place if they want to go.
And all you got to do is say, tell me what's on your mind. And Riley does it, and look what it's done for him.
Right,
the guy that did Bravo.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Ken Rogers. No, there are.
Anyway. You talk to Barney Barnum. You know, Barney Barnum's got the added burden of being the Medal of Honor winner. He does it every day, 50 times a day.
Yeah, that's not easy. The Jack Riley interview, if you have not listened to that, go listen to it.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. He was in the worst of the worst. I can't even conceive not being a bumbling idiot after that day.
All right, sir. Anything else that you want to get off your chest in this story?
Oh, you really started my Monday off on the right foot. My pulse is about 165 right now. My blood pressure is probably 330 over 200. So I'm off to a great roll.
Go do some yoga. Go find a labyrinth.
Great talking, man, always.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Bob. That is the patron saint of All Marine Radio, Bob Nelson. Bob, I don't want to give him too much credit, but he envisioned us. Talking about it would lead to good things. He envisioned us. And he's not that smart either. That's the killer. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
There you have it. I just wanted to plug that in again. I bombed that out again last night, just that little snippet of the interview. And he's a great example of what we talk about when we talk about post-traumatic winning. And so, I think a lot about it now because I'm writing about it, right? I'm writing a book. And so, if you know anybody who's written a book, shoot me an email. I could use all the help that I can get. And I've already had some great help.
the cool part is that you see people that have done this, but I don't know that their paths are well documented in a way that you can take it and you can show people that have been touched by trauma and say, hey, I'm going to give you, I'm going to kind of show you a path where, A, you'll learn about what's happened to you and how you've changed a little bit, right? But the majority of who you are is still inside of that. You haven't become something different. Okay? You're still the same person. And that's why I think this whole concept of being a trauma mentor is hugely important. Because that's what Gunny Wide was for me. And I don't know that we ever talked about it again. I think we had that conversation, and that was it. I mean, so that's how little it takes. That's how little it takes. And so let me just tell you, if you simply regurgitate the stuff that's on the website, the majority of which is not mine, but like any good Marine, I know how to steal, and I do, and share that stuff. The coolest part about it is that it's the truth. And as I'm fond of saying, the truth needs no salesman. I mean, you heard Libby Weichel, today talking about how much sense it made when she heard, at some point, heard me say, you're never going to get over it. He's right. Like, it hits you like this, you know, like somebody just smoked you in the head with a baseball bat. Right? A cartoon kind of baseball hat, not a bat, not a real one. A real one would splatter your head. But it hits you like that, like a ton of bricks. Like, well, that makes sense. Why didn't somebody say that? You know? Or people will say, I don't like the way that sounds. Okay, how about this? You'll never get over it, but you will learn to coexist with it. I like that. Josh Goldberg said, I like the word coexist. That's good. I said, I know. Got to make peace with it. Then you hear, right? You hear Eminem. You can understand these lyrics, right? I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me. Stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy. Yeah, you think I'm crazy. Crazy. I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well, guess beggars can't be choosy. And then you find out that having a monster under the bed is normal for what you've been through. Like, well, hell, why didn't somebody tell me that? Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery through week. But with what I gave up to get was bittersweet. It was like winning and used me. I'm blind because I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Because I'm friends with the monster. The first time I heard this and was like listening to the lyrics, I was like, I started laughing. But see, I knew I wasn't crazy because Gunny Y told me I wasn't. That son of a bitch has become a recluse too, and it's beginning to piss me off. I might just like get in my truck and go down and go to his house and just like sit in his driveway.
Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts come
from. Yeah, no shit. He's become he works now. He retired from the Marine Corps and went to work, I think, for the Forestry Department. He's got this beard that's down to his waist. Yeah, he looks like one of the Oak Ridge, that Oak Ridge dude. Killing me and I can't conquer it. My OCD's talking me in the head. Keep knocking, nobody's home. I'm sleepwalking. I'm just relaying with the voice in my head saying, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just friends with the monster. You're supposed to have a monster, you dumbass. I am? Yes. Hello? So then I think it makes you a little bit angry, like, well, wait a minute, why aren't people telling me this shit? And again, it's interesting to listen to Libby. I mean, she got online and she read, you know, go get help from the VA. I go to the VA, what do I get? I get the VA's treatment protocol, which is the zombie cocktail and go to group. Right? And you, I mean, if you listen to her interview today, what did she say? Have you ever had anybody walk up to me and walk up to you and say that, geez, that really helped me, it was just what I needed? Yeah, I don't, and again, I'm sure there's out there, I'm sure that has helped somebody. But again, it's a big institution. You're trying to save me. Stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy. Yeah, you think I'm crazy. I'm friends with the monster that's kind of my bed. So, anyway. But the cool part is that the tsunami is coming. It's already started. I'm getting email from people that live up in Minnesota and South Dakota and North Dakota that are going to come to Mankato in November. Yeah, when we do post-traumatic winning in Minnesota at the University or Minnesota State University, Mankato. Tim Adams, a graduate from the University of Notre Dame, former CH-46 pilot in the Navy who listens, is having us up there. And then after that, we'll go to North Carolina. And so, if you know a group that would like to have a speaker, tell them to contact me. I'd love to spread the gospel. And that's what it is. It's a lot of it is the oral tradition of mental health from guys who fought in Vietnam, handed down to guys who fought in Desert Storm and Iraq and Afghanistan, that came from guys who fought in World War II and Korea, you know. Don't let the monkeys out of the cage. You'll never get over this. All that. But ultimately, it's a message of hope, which is the coolest thing about it. It's a message of hope that says you're okay. You're going to be fine. You got to come to grips with a few things. You got to learn what happened to you. And then you got to help us help other people. And that is the recipe for winning. That is the recipe to a better life. That is the recipe to a greater life. That is the recipe. And you can hear in the interview, Nielsen, right, talking about, you know, been to Bethesda and Walter Reed over 2,000 times. And then he talks about all the people that have been through his little thing. And then, you know, him getting emails from them about things they're doing now to help other people. So, and that's the tsunami. That's the tsunami. So we want to create disciples of the gospel of post-traumatic winning. We want you to mentor and preach the gospel. Okay? And so if you've been around trauma at all, you'll find the learning compelling, the truth simple, and as I said, they land with a thud. And to those who have deeper, you know, deeper issues, then training and education will cure. then by all means, get if you need medication, get medicated. The goal is to live a better life. That's the goal. The goal is to reduce the number of people that are attempting suicide, to understand that phenomenon, where it comes from, and address that. So, pretty exciting stuff, honestly. Pretty exciting stuff. So, become a disciple. Preach the gospel. Impact others. Live a greater life. That's the message. That's a cool message, by the way. All right, if you're just tuning in, we'll check the news real quick. You get a chance to meet Tim McGarry, by the way, who'll do the McGarry Mortgage Minute with us, and he'll tell you what he's going to do. But Tim's an interesting guy. He's had some issues in his life, so that he's fought to overcome and still lives with some of them. So you get to meet him, which is cool. And you'll also get to meet Libby Wilkie today. Except her name's not Wilkie. I just think her name's Wilkie. Her name is Weichel. Yeah, her kid's name is Wilkie because he won't correct it. So you'll get to meet a mom of a Marine who came home and struggled. And you'll get to hear her thoughts about that, about watching him, her baby, right? And honestly, the role that All Marine Radio and the gospel played in helping Luke point his life in a different direction. So it's a very, very cool story. And, you know, what I want is I want more of us to do it. And you don't got to be like the gunner and drive around your pickup truck with your GPS on looking for people, homing in on people. Hey, come here, you got issues? I want to talk to you. You don't have to be that guy. Okay? But in the course of your life, you're going to hear, yeah, so-and-so is struggling. Oh, really? With what? Well, this, that, and the other thing happened. Where they work? She works here. Why? I think I'll go by and introduce myself. Really? Yeah. I'll just say hi. And you go say hi. And then you say, I hear you're fucked up. And then they'll look at you and laugh. What? That's what I heard. I hear you're fucked up. Is that true? And the answer you'll get is, I don't know. That's the answer you'll get. And then the response is, well, you're not. For what you've been through, you're absolutely normal. And they'll look at you and they won't believe you. And then you introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Joe Blow. I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And you and I should probably sit down and have a conversation if you'd like to. And they'll say, sure. Because you want to know why? Because you're preaching the gospel of the truth. Things they know. And if you just simply start with, you know that you're never going to get over that, don't you? Most of them will say, yeah. But then you say, hey, when do you get off? When can you sit down and talk? They'll tell you. They'll sit down and talk with you. Because you've been there and you know the truth. And that's a warm, comfortable place for people. So, become a disciple of the ministry of post-traumatic winning. Preach the gospel. Right? Testify. Lead a revival. Do all that stuff. Okay? Because it is the path to a greater life for you. Ultimately, it is turning lemons into lemonade. And that's what this is. How you find that path, how you find that truth, it seems that like it's harder than it should be. But it's okay. We'll pave it. We'll stripe it. We'll get it to be nice. And we'll build more on-ramps to it. That's our mission, and you're part of it. All right, so if you know somebody who publishes books or writes books, put me in contact with them. If you need more information, come to the website. Okay, if you go to the website, click on All Marine Radio. And across the top, you'll see a tab that says Post-Traumatic Winning. You can click on PTW Podcast, PTW Blog, or PTW Read Board. So let's click on the PTW Read Board. What's on that? There's a link to the Elizabeth Smart movie. You should watch that. There's a link to the Mental Health Path of a Warrior. You should definitely check that out. And you should check out the Gospel of Coexisting with PTSD. You should check that out. So that's where you should start. That's where you should start. So on a Wednesday, thank you very much for listening here. Don't touch that dial. This program continues momentarily on a Wednesday. All Marine Radio over and wait a minute, the dude's doing it again. Like who is this guy and why does he want to get killed? Is this he's standing there. How does the microphone even function? And if he's killed doing this, I mean, shouldn't he? If I was the family, I would hold the news network liable for anything that happened to him, in a big way, and I would seek punitive damage for whatever news corporation did this, so that this stuff stops. There is no need for him to be standing out there and risking his life in 100-mile-an-hour winds that are going to launch something, hit him in the head, and kill him. It's reckless, and it's stupid. But that's the world we live in, right? This is the next spectacle after the Kavanaugh hearings. All right. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.